Morning. Today's daf and brachos is Chaf Gimel. We start today at the Mishnah on Chaf Gimel on Chaf Beis Amud Beis. Continuing our discussion of a Baal Keri. Takana says Ezra was masakin, coming back into Eretz Yisrael, building by Sheni, that men and women are not allowed to learn Torah until they tov on the mikvah. This Takanas Ezra has been the primary discussion of the Gemara in the last two dapim. It started with the Mishnah on Chaf Amud Beis. And it continued through Chaf Aleph and Chaf Beis, and it's going to continue into Chaf Gimel. Although most of today's daf is not going to revolve around the halacha of Takanas Ezra, but it's going to be the background of it is all going to be about Takanas Ezra. You're not allowed to learn, and you're also not allowed to daven. Davening also is something which is going to be prohibited until you tov on the mikvah. So we've been discussing up until now the Mishnayos Kriya Shema, and your ability to say Kriya Shema while in a state of being a Baal Keri. We now move on to Tefillah. The Mishnah starts off, Hayomid b'tfilah, so you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. You start Shemoneh Esrei, you forgot you're a Baal Keri. Now, if you remembered you're a Baal Keri, you shouldn't have started Shemoneh Esrei. That part's clear from the Mishnah. But we're already at the point where, okay, you woke up early, your brain is halfway working, and you started diving Shemoneh Esrei. V'nizkor shu Baal Keri. In the middle of your Shemoneh Esrei, now you remembered you're a Baal Keri. So what do you do at this point in time? So the Mishnah gives a psak. Lo yafsik, ela yikatzer. So the Mishnah says, don't stop your Shemoneh Esrei, continue Shemoneh Esrei, but what you should do is you should truncate the rest of your Shemoneh Esrei. Now, yikatzer literally means to cut it short. Now, cut it short, what does that mean? It certainly doesn't mean stop, because the Mishnah says lo yafsik. So, lo yikatzer means that what you're going to do with every bracha coming up subsequently is you're going to abbreviate every bracha. Now, exactly what to do at that point in time, it's not clear. Rashi doesn't say. Presumably, you're certainly going to make the chasima. That for sure is what you're going to do for all the remainder of the brachas. Maybe you'll say also the heading of each of the remaining brachas, perhaps. But anyway, but certainly truncate your bracha. Could be the Mishnah also refers to the bracha of Havineinu. That's a possibility. In any regard, the Mishnah's point is very clear. Don't stop your Shemoneh Esrei, but certainly finish it in an abbreviated fashion. Yared Litbol, you go down to Tovel. And in other words, you wake up in the morning, you're a Baal Keri, and you're toveling in the mikvah. So, im yochol la'alos l'iskasos l'iskos ashalotei netzachama. So let's say, so you have enough time. Enough time, says the Mishnah, where you could get up, you can cover yourself, and you could read Kriya Shema right before Netzachama. So in other words, you toveled well before Netzachama, so you have enough time to do all that, right up until the point of Netzachama. So then the Mishnah says, yala vidkasa vikari. So then good. So then get up from the mikvah, cover yourself up, and you should read Shema right before Netzachama. Now it's interesting, the Mishnah here talks about right before Netzachama, because if you remember earlier in the first parak of the Masechta, we talked about the time of Kriya Shema. So there is a machlokus in terms of when the end of Kriya Shema is. And one opinion is that you have up until Netzachama. The other opinion, of course, is that you have until 3 hours in the day. Is the Mishnah over here siding with the position that you only have up until Netzachama? It sounds that way. The Mishnah says that if you can get your Shema in before Netzachama, so then do so. So it certainly sounds that way, that the Mishnah over here is talking about the Shita that you have up until Netzachama. It could also be that Netzachama is just simply a preferable time. It's an optimal time. Either way, so the Mishnah says, fine, v'im lav, but what if you don't have enough time? So in other words, you're in the mikvah, and you at this point in time want to say Shema, you want to get in at the optimum time. V'im lav, yiskasa b'mayim. So what you should do is you should cover the bottom of your body with water. Cover the bottom of your body with water, what does that mean? Basically, I mean, the Mishnah is not particularly clear, but we're going to see this together in the Gemara. Basically, what you're going to do is you're going to stay in the mikvah. Obviously, your head is above the water. It'd be very challenging to say Shema if your head is still submerged in the water. Your head is going to be up above the water. At the same time, however, now there's another consideration, and that is that you're going to see your erva, being that the water is clear. So make the waters unclear. How do you make the waters unclear? So we're going to be discussing this not in today's daf, but in the upcoming dapim. So what you're going to do is that basically you're going to agitate the water. Back in the day, remember the water, we have a nice clean mikvah. So back in the day, so what you do basically is you just rub your feet right into the ground and get the water nice and dirty and agitated. And you want that. So now that the bottom half of your body is going to be totally covered by the water, and now you'll be able to say Shema. V'kare, and you read the Shema. V'lo yizkasa lo b'mayim arayim v'lo b'mei ha-mishra. And then the Mishnah says something which right now is not clear exactly what the Mishnah means. The Gemara is going to clean up the language of the Mishnah, but the Mishnah here talks about Mayim Raim and Mei Mishra. Mayim Raim and Mei Mishra, Rashi already over here gives up the pshat in the Mishnah, and that is let's say the water is foul-smelling. So now there's another consideration, and that is, it just smells bad. So as we're going to learn in the course of today's daf, tomorrow's daf, you're not allowed to daven or say Shema, or learn Torah for that matter, in an area where the smell is foul and the smell is bad. So if you're around area of Maim Ra'im or Mei Mishra is where you're soaking the flax, it gives off a really foul odor. So then you're not allowed to say Shema Achiyat Elotocha Maim until you dilute that water. The dilution of the water is going to make it so that the water no longer smells. Once you do that, now you're allowed to say Shema. The Kama Yarchik Mehem Min Atzala, how far away should you be from the smell or from excrement, which obviously also smells? Dal Amos, you have to be a distance of 4 Amos. 4 Amos presumably is the distance from the smell, not from the actual source itself. The actual source itself, obviously, you're not allowed to be in proximity of that, and that we're going to be discussing more in tomorrow's daf. Okay. Focusing right now on the first part of the Mishnah, the Gemara immediately launches into a brisa. Tana Rabbana Hayom Betilah V'Nizkor Shu Bal Keri. A person is in tefillah and he remembers that he's a Bal Keri. Lo Yafsik Ali Katzer. Good. The brisa says exactly what we learned together in the Mishnah. So, in remembering in the middle of your Shmon Esrei that you're a Bal Keri, so you abbreviate the remainder of the Shmon Esrei. Hayakor B'Torah. Let's say you're a Bal Keri and you're reading the Torah. V'Nizkor Shu Bal Keri. And again, in the middle of the Aliyah, now you remember you're a Bal Keri. Ein Amafsik Va'Ola. Ella megamgem bekari. So what you should do now for the balance of the Kriyas Torah is you should be megamgem. Now previously we talked about megamgem meaning like stuttering. The Gemara over here is not, the Brice over here is not advocating that you should be stuttering for the balance of your Kriyas Torah. Rashi over here, the first Rashi in the Gemara, megamgem bemerutza. It just means speed it through the rest of it. Yes, are you announcing to the world at large that you right now you're a Bal Keri? Yes, you are, but those announcements have been made in the course of yesterday's daf, and we're kind of used to it by now, where the person is announcing to the world at large that he is, in fact, a Bal Keri. Remeir Omer ain Bal Keri, Rashali Kros B'Tor, Yosem Megillah Psukim. Remeir says that a Bal Keri is not allowed to read from the Torah any more than 3 Psukim. We learned in the Gemara Megillah. We will learn together in the Gemara Megillah that the minimum number of Psukim that make up an Aliyah is 3 Psukim, and so therefore, you are, once you remember that you are a Bal Keri, so you should do no more than 3 Psukim. 3 Psukim presumably in total, presumably. Tan Yidach, the Gemara quotes another Braisa, Hayaomi Betfila Virat So Kenegdom. Let's say in the middle of Tfila and now you see excrement. And the excrement's right there. And you didn't notice it when you first got there. Mahalak Lafana Vachis Rakin Lachor of Dal Amos. So you should step forward, walk forward 4 Amos until the Tsoa is 4 Amos behind you. And again, presumably also it doesn't smell. That tiny little stud. Now another brisa says that you have to move to the side. So which is it? Is it to the forward or to the side? The lokasha, adashar, adalashar. But the resolution of the Gemara is very simple. If you can't walk forward, i.e. there's a wall right in front of you, and we learned earlier in the Masechta, preferable to daven right up against the wall. So if you can't move forward, so what do you do? So then the alternative, of course, is move to the side. Hayim espal matzot soa bim komo. Let's say you daven, and there was soa right there in the place where you daven. So amar rabba afapi shechata tefila tefila. So, Rabbah says, look, you sinned. In other words, what you sinned, what's a sin? Should have done an examination before you davened. You should have checked to see where you were davening and make sure there was no tzoa. So the tefillah is a good tefillah. The tefillah is a good tefillah, but you're a chote. So, maskal Rabbah, v'hal zevach b'shaim to'eva? What do you mean? The carbon of a rasha is the to'eva. You right now fall into the category of a rasha. I know it's harsh language of the Gemara to describe such an individual, but again, on the basis that you should have checked the area, you didn't check the area, so fine, so you're rasha. And now they're using the pasuk in Mishlei, Toeva, it's disgusting, it's an abomination. You want to tell me that the tefillah of such an individual is b'di'evah going to be good? Ela merava ho v'chata afapishi, spalot filasa Toeva. So, okay, so you're a chote, and you daven, but your tefillah is a Toeva. Now, what does that mean? In other words, is Gemara landing on the same spot? So presumably not. If you take a look at the side of the Gemara, so he has a little bit of a different girsa, and maitakante lehader v'litzlei. And so, in an alternative gear, so an additional gear, so the Gemara is that now that we qualified that you're davening as a Toeva, so so now you have to daven again. And if you take a look at Tosos over here, so Tosos suggests that, or the other possibility, second to last Tosos on the Amud, right? Tosos writes, Alphabishi, Spal Tfila Toeva, Vahave Me'uvas Lo Yucha Litko. So one shot in Tosos is, there's nothing you can do about it now. Meaning you offered your Tfila to Akash Baruch Hu, and it was disgusting. And can you rectify it? So in one pshat, Tosfos, no, there's nothing you could do. The Ri perished, the Yachzev Yispalo. Now the Ri, obviously Tosfos didn't have this extra girsa that I just read in the Gemara, because then there wouldn't be a discussion in Tosfos. But the Ri says no, that if your tefillah is a Toeva, so you have an opportunity to daven again. Not only an opportunity, you need to daven again. Atana Rabbanan, we are towards the bottom.
Say, Shemunesra again, twice, let's say, this was Shachetz.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going with the Rish Pshat, so you have an obligation.
Yep.
No, that's it. It was no good. Yeah. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Hayal mebetul amayim shosusim al birkav. You're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and Rachmanus, you lost control of your bladder. And so the urine is now going down your leg. Posek, so you have to stop. You can't daven while the urine is running down your leg. Ad shechalu hamayim. Until the liquid is, now is what? So the simple pshan, the brisa is, it's gone. It's destroyed. So Tosfos over here has a discussion in terms of exactly what point in time you have to wait. In other words, it takes urine some time to dry. It depends, obviously, on how much urine has come out of your body. But nevertheless, you see the Bam Tosfos over here who discusses it. But nevertheless, the idea is that while the urine is coming out of you, obviously, you're not in a position to daven anymore. You're stopping your davening, and you're going to wait. And then Chozer Mispala. And then you pick it up. Now, you pick it up. So the obvious question, which the Gemara asked, Lehek and Chozer, you pick it up from where? From the, you go back to the beginning, or you pick it up where you left off? So Rav Chisiv, Rav Hamnuna, Chanam Archozel, Rosh Chanam Alamakum Shepasach. So it's a machlokis amarayim. So either you go back to the beginning or you pick it up from where you left off. Now, Lema Ba'akim Iflugi. The Gemara says, okay, we have a machlokis. Let's see if we could say pshat in the machlokis, as we are now on the top of Chav Gimel Amad Aleph. So, Mar Savar Im Shalki De Ligmor Is Kula, Chozel Rosh, or Mar Savar Lamakum Shepasach. So, how long a delay was it? Well, it's not clear, but let's suggest that the amount of time that it took for you to wait is going to be the amount of time for you to say the entire Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, now obviously it's subjective. Some people say Shemoneh Esrei long, some people say quickly. But in other words, gauged on what you normally is your average length time of Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, for purposes of just making the point, let's say it's 5 minutes. Okay, so if let's say you waited 5 minutes, so maybe the machlokis is that a wait that long, which is the totality of what your Shemoneh Esrei would be, so maybe the machlokis is that if the wait is that long, so do you have to go back to the beginning? Is that hefsek now considered such a significant hefsek? You have to go back to the beginning, or maybe no. Maybe even though the pause was 5 minutes, but you don't have to go back to the beginning. To which the Gemara says, that's not pshat in the machlokas. It's a bad pshat in the machlokas. So Amar Ravashi, hai imsha im lo shami ba'ile. Ravashi says, look, if that's really what is at the issue over here, that is the way it should have been articulated. In other words, we should have made a very clear distinction of how long you waited. So, so the Gemara says, look, the starting point of this discussion is that if the amount of time that you had to pause in the middle of your Shemoneh Esrei is the totality of your Shemoneh Esrei, if you pause 5 minutes for the 5 minute Shemoneh Esrei guy, so then everyone's in agreement that you have to go back to the beginning. That's where we're starting. Everyone agrees to that point. Over here, the debate is on the following. He waited 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Okay. So it's not a full-length Shemoneh Esrei pause. It was less than that. Mar Savar Gavra Dechuyahu Ve'ein Ra'i Ve'ein Tfilas O'Tfila Umar Savar Gavra Chazyahu U'Tfilas O'Tfila. And what is at the core of the Machlokas is the following. You were davening Shemoneh Esrei, your first half of your Shemoneh Esrei, in a condition where you shouldn't have davened Shemoneh Esrei. Meaning you were, let's not call this full incontinence, but you were obviously in a position where you should have gone to the bathroom beforehand. And you figured to yourself, it's okay, you know what, I'll just hold it in. And you are incapable of holding it in. But that is now a person davening that shouldn't have davened. And so for the first half of your Shemoneh Esrei before the incontinence, so is that now going to be a tefillah dechuya? Is that considered now a rejected tefillah? That's the machlokis between the Amoraim. So one position is, we don't know who says what, we just know who the participants of the machlokis is. But one is of the opinion that you are considered a gavra dechuya. Your tefillah was rejected from the very beginning, and obviously that means you have to go back to the beginning. And the other position is no, gavra chazya. Even the position of gavra chazya is going to obviously recommend that you should go to the bathroom before having daven, but the fact that you started davening with the need to go is not considered rejected tefillah, and therefore you may pick it up right where we left off. Tana Rabbanan. Gemara quotes another braisa. Hanitzrach lenakav. Al yispalo. So a person who needs to go to the bathroom, so he shouldn't daven. Okay, so first things first, go to the bathroom and then go daven. We already talked earlier in the Masechta about being mekaba ol omach hashemayim b'shleima. Right? Remember the Gemara earlier. How do you accept omach hashemayim in totality? Meaning, what's a perfect kabbalas omach hashemayim? So waking up in the morning, washing your hands, going to the bathroom. Actually, the order was first waking up in the morning, going to the bathroom, washing your hands. Okay, creates some halachic issues, but not for now. But anyway, so going to the bathroom obviously creates now a state of mind in where you can now focus and concentrate on Kabbalah Zomach HaShemayim. And so we are discussing now not the Kriya Shema, but the Shemoneh Esrei. So now a person who needs to go to the bathroom, so he shouldn't daven. Vimis baal tefillah, so toeva. Davening while having the need to go to the bathroom is considered tefillah toeva. Amar zvid v'tem Rav Yehuda lo shanu ala she'eino yachol lishos batzmo. Avayim yachol lishos batzmo tefillah so tefillah. Now, but the Gemara qualifies. Let's say you don't have a real need to go to the bathroom, it's just a mild need to go to the bathroom. So, meaning to say that after your Shemoneh Esrei is finished, you could still hold in a little bit longer. So, then your tefillah is not a toeva, and therefore it's an acceptable tefillah. Again, obviously, you should go to the bathroom first. But, if the need is not a strong need, so and you could hold it in a little bit afterwards, so then the tefillah would be acceptable. Vlad kama. Now, the obvious question, let's see if we can quantify this. So, Amar Rav Sheshes ad parsa. So, ad parsa is 4 mil, takes 18 minutes to walk a mil, 72 minutes in total. 72 minutes in total is the amount of time that you need to hold it in afterwards in order to say that the need was not a strong need. Now, some learn this halacha not on the statement of an Amora, but rather directly on a Mishnah or a Braisa. So here we have the Braisa. And on the Braisa, ve'ad kama. So here and now, it's the same discussion, we're just qualifying it on the Braisa. So Amra Zvid ad Parsa. So it goes up until a Parsa. So if you can hold it in for 72 minutes post tefillah, post Shemoneh Esrei, so then the need wasn't a strong need, and your tefillah is merutz, that's accepted. Amra B'Shmuel bar Nachmin, Amra Yonasan Hanisrach, and the cover of Harizelo Yispalo. A person who needs to go to the bathroom should not daven. Mishum Shin Amra, the Pasuk says, Ikon Lekras Alokecha Yisrael. Pasuk and Amra says that when before davening, before meeting a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hikon. So you have to prepare yourself. And part of the preparation, in addition to getting dressed properly and looking good and washing your hands and all of the above, on top of that also, you have to make sure you don't need to go to the bathroom. I.e., go to the bathroom before you daven. V'amr Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amr Rav Yonasan, Mai Dichtiv, Shmor Raglecha Kasher Telech El Beis Elokim. So the Gemara quotes another pasuk. This one from Koheles. Shmor Raglecha. Now, eventually, what we're going to do is we're going to bring this pasuk back to our discussion about needing to go to the bathroom. And you already see it encrypted in the pasuk. Because it talks about raglecha, which is raglaim, which is legs, which is a reference to mei raglaim. But we'll come back to that in just a moment. First, the Gemara is going to darshan the pasuk a little differently. So shmor raglecha kasher telech al beis elokim. So watch your feet as you're walking to beis elokim, and the Gemara darshans. Shmor tzucha shelo techata v'im techata havei karban lefanai. So the first thing you should do is make sure not to sin, and if you do, so then bring a karban. Okay, that's phrase number one of this pasuk in Koheles. Next phrase of the pasuk. The karav lishmawa, skip the parentheses, and be close to listen. Amar Rabba, have the karav lishmawa devar chachamim shim chotim mevim karban vosim tshuva. Now you should listen to the chachamim that if you sin, so they'll bring a karban and they'll do tshuva, and you'll do the same thing. And mseis haksilim zevach, and don't be like those fools bringing karbanos. That's the next part of the pasuk in the Gemara Darshans. Alti haksilim shish chotim mevim karban ve'inosim tshuva, and don't be like the fools where they're sinning, they'll bring a karban and they think, okay, I brought a karban, check. No, it's not a check. In other words, you have to do tshuva. Carbon by itself is not effective. It's carbon together with a tshuva. With tshuva. And then the next phrase of the pasuk, ke'inam yod'im lasos ra. Well, they don't know how to do bad. Now, that last phrase of the pasuk, that's strange. Ihachi tzadikim ninhu. Well, if they don't know how to do bad, so then they fall into the category of a tzadik. And obviously, that's not who we're talking about. We're talking about the ksilim. So, ela alti ksilim shechotim avin carbon. No, so the pshat is like this. Fools, so they sin and they bring a karban. And they're not even sure why they're bringing a karban. In other words, they'll just bring a karban. They're fools. They don't know the difference between tov and ra. That's shot in the last phrase of the pasuk. Right? Meaning they don't know the difference between good and bad. They just simply bring karbanos because that's what I do. I bring a karban. So don't be like those people. Okay, that is one pshat in the pasuk in Koheles, really having nothing to do with our topic, and the reason why we quoted the pasuk is because of the next line of the Gemara. Rav Ashi v'itim Rav Chanina bar Papa Amar Shmona Kavacha b'shasha ata ome b'tfila lifanai. So now we're saying pshat in the Koheles, which is now consistent with our discussion, and that is Shmona Kavacha. The raglaim over here is a reference to your needs, your bladder, and also obviously your rectal needs. So Shmorne Kavecha B'Shasha Ata Omeid B'Tfila Lefanai. Before standing in front of me and davening in front of me, go to the bathroom. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara now is going to be quoting another Braisa. So Adkan, that basically takes us to the end of the Gemara's discussion regarding making sure that a person does not need to go to the bathroom before davening. And what if he does need to go to the bathroom? making a distinction between a mild need versus a great need. A mild need, but the ever the tefillah is good. A great need, so that qualifies and goes under the category of a toeva. And the Gemara now has finished that part of the discussion. Tana Rabban, the Gemara now quotes a brisa, which is going to lead us to another discussion. Hanichnas the basic kisa cholot tefillah berichug dala amos v'nichnas. So you're going to go to the bathroom. So what you have to do is you have to take off your tefillin at a distance of 4 amos before going to the bathroom and then walking into the bathroom. Okay, a couple of points over here before we really engage in the upcoming discussion. First and foremost, back in the day, the good old days, they wore their tefillin all the time. And so therefore, even as they're walking to the bathroom, in other words, we're not talking about during shachris, we're talking about at any point in time, so they wore their tefillin. Point number two, their bathrooms. We are spoiled. We have this thing called indoor plumbing. It's fantastic. So but back in the day, so they did not have indoor plumbing. So a bathroom back then just simply meant some sort of outhouse. And maybe not even that sophisticated. Just simply somewhere outdoors. And so you're going to understand why I'm making this point now. As we're going to make distinctions later on regarding whether it's a Besa Kise Kavua or a Rai. You'll see what I mean in just a moment. So the Brisa says that when you're going to the bathroom, so already when you're 4 amos away from arriving at the bathroom, you must take off your tefillin. It is not proper to be wearing your tefillin in an area of tsoa, and so therefore it has to be removed even 4 amos prior to that. Amar Vacha bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Sheshel Shanu ala Beis HaKiseh Kavua. That's only if it's a Beis HaKiseh Kavua. Now, a fixed bathroom, in as far as Peshat and the Gemara is concerned, it just means it was used once before. Right? And again, don't think of our modern life and our modern facilities. We're talking about the good old days. Or it just simply means it was used before. Rashi writes, Beis Kisei Kavua, Sheish Bo Tzoa. It just simply means that it has excrement already there. V'chol Bati Kisao Shebegemara, Apnei Asad Ehem, Belo Chafira. So, and back in the day, a bathroom just simply meant an area dedicated where people would relieve themselves in that area. And that means that there's Mamash Tzoa in that area. They wouldn't even dig. I know the soldiers, the Torah tells the soldiers to take a shovel with them as one of their tools of warfare, so that they're able to dig a hole and deposit in the hole. Over here, it's kind of curious why it is that standard practice in the quote-unquote civilized areas is not to dig. But I guess it's a little bit tedious. But anyway, so fine. So so lo shana le beis hakiseh kavua. Ava beis hakiseh arai cholitz v'nifna l'altar. But if it's a beis hakiseh arai, i.e. it hasn't been used before, and there's no tzoa in that area, so you don't have to take your tefillin 4 amos away, because 4 amos away from what? There's nothing there yet. Okay, but you're going to be the depositor. So now that brings us to the next part of the brisa. Ukishu yotze marchi da'amos menichem imnei shalsu beis hakiseh kavua. Okay, but congratulations, you made a beis hakiseh. So now by using the area and relieving yourself in that area, so now as you walk away from that area, so you should be now not putting your tefillin on until you're 4 amos away from that area.
Ibailu. What did you do with the tefillin? Take them off, and what did you do with it?
Oh, we're going to get to that. Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't understand. We're getting there. Ibailu, my shechanes adam betfillin beis hakiseh kavua la'ashin mayin. What if you're going to go to a beis hakiseh kavua just to urinate? Ravina shari, Rav Adar, Bamasna, Asur. Machlokus amongst the Amorayim. Asu shailu l'Rava, Amar l'hu Asur. So, and they ask Rava, and Rava says Asur. Meaning you must take off your tefillin, berichu gdal amos. Chayshin shem yifana, bahen. Because right now you think to yourself you only need to urinate. But as long as you're using the facility, so you may end up defecating or in passing gas. Neither of those are acceptable while wearing tefillin, and therefore you have to take off your tefillin. Tanya Yidach, the Gemara quotes another brisa, Nichnas the Beis HaKiseh Kavua. You go into a fixed Beis HaKiseh. Again, in our discussion, it just simply means it was already once used. Okay, so take off your tefillin that we got already. This brisa now is going to give an additional point, is that where do you put your tefillin while they're off? So, put it in the windowsill, samach l'rishus harabim. Now, in other words, we're assuming that there's some sort of wall, and you went behind a wall, so you should put it on the outside of the wall or on the inside of the wall. Right now, we're saying on the outside of the wall. Face the side of the wall facing the rishus harabim. V'nichnas, u'kishu yotze merichu dal amos manichan. Divrei Beit Shammai. And then, as you exit, so then, take your tefillin, but walk away 4 amos, and then put your tefillin back on. Now, Beis Hillel says, look, as far as care for your tefillin is concerned, Don't put it in the wall. Carry your tefillin in with you. Now, obviously, it's a little bit uncomfortable. Your tefillin are right there with you as you are relieving yourself. According to Beis Hillel, the answer is that's correct. That's absolutely right. Now, why should that be? Stay tuned as we're going to explain why that should be. Rabbi Kiva Omer Ochsam Bebigdov Nechnas. Now, Rabbi Kiva says put it in your clothing and go into the bathroom, meaning wrap it up in your clothing. To which the Gemara just pauses in the middle of the Braisa because the Gemara wants clarification on that position, Rabbi Kiva. Bebigdov, you're going to put it in your clothing, Sakadacha, Zimim Mishtalu Venafle. That's a terrible idea. You wrap it up in your clothing, and then what's going to happen is you're going to forget about your children. It's wrapped in your clothing, and it's going to fall to the ground, and you don't want that. Now, what Rabbi Kiva is doing is he's agreeing to Beis Hillel, but with more precaution. Meaning, yes, you bring your children in with you to the bathroom, but don't just simply hold it in your hand. Wrap it in one of your clothing and hold it in your hand. Okay, and now we're going back to the Braisa. Now, the Braisa is a little bit confusing because you're holding it or you're putting it in the hole in the wall. So you'll see. We're gonna clarify that point in just a moment. The Braisa continues and says, and you're gonna put it in the hole in the wall that is samach lebeis hakisei, facing the bathroom. V'lo yinechem b'chorim hasmuchim l'rishus harabim. Don't put it on the outside of the wall where the people are passing by. Shemiyilu osam ovrei derachim. Because what may end up happening is that someone's gonna take your tefillin, and then it can get even more embarrassing. V'yavol l'dei chshad, and it will lead to suspicion. What is all this about? The Gemara tells the following anecdote. There was an episode once where a person put his tefillin on the outside of the wall of the bathroom. And so that means people were passing by. And a zona came along and took the tefillin. She goes to the base measures. And she says, look what I got. And this was compensation for services rendered. And Kevish Hashem also Talmud Kach Allah the Rosh Hagag v'nafal ameis. And the student heard it and he suffered terrible embarrassment to the point where he went to the rooftop. He fell off the rooftop and he died. So, as a result of the story, now we see this a couple times throughout Shas, where it sounds like we're making an entire gzera based on one episode, and that's obviously anecdotal, and that's not normally how it works. So, what I would suggest to you is that this story over here is representative. It is not just simple. It's simply a single story that was told. It was representative of a larger idea that it's just not good to have your tefillin in a position where other people can take it. Right? Correct. Okay, so so now we understand a little bit better the impetus of why the strong need to bring your tefillin in with you to the bathroom, despite the fact that obviously that creates an inappropriate situation, but better that than to have your tefillin in a position where it's exposed and other people can take it. Tanur Rabban, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. This Braisa is going to do a little bit of a clearer job in terms of giving us a progression of what was the original takana and then what was a later takana. The original takana was to put it on the interior side of the wall facing the bathroom. Uvainach bar menot lenosan. But however, even though there are no people who are able to take it because it's on the inside, not on the outside of the wall, but still, it was exposed to the rats and rodents. Then they said, okay, you know what, put it on the outside of the wall. But then people would take it. So after realizing that leaving in the wall is not going to be a good way of shimur, of protecting your tefillin, not on the inside, not on the outside, so then the Chachamim finally said, you know what? The only way to really take care of your tefillin is to keep it by you at all times, even as you're going to the bathroom. Amar, not wearing it, obviously, but still keeping it by you. Amar of Meisha, Bered, Rav Yishuv, Ben Levi, Alach, Golan, Kimin, Sefer, V'ochzan, B'yimino, Keneged Libo. And the Gemara quotes, B'shem, Rav Yishuv, Ben Levi, that the halacha is that what you're going to do is you're going to wrap it up like a sefer, and you'll hold it in your right hand, meaning make sure you got a good hold of it. And I'll add, although the Gemara doesn't say this, and Rashi doesn't say this, anyway, you're wiping yourself with your left hand. That's the halacha, which we're going to learn later in our Masechta. And you hold it by your heart, meaning you really want to be as secure as possible. I'm Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi, I'm Rav Nachman, Vavashalate Ritsu, Yotzas Mitachas Yedei Tefach, Yado Tefach. Now, when making sure that it's in your hand, not only the batim should be in your hand, but the Ritsuas as well. Really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi writes, Shalote Ritsuah, I'm reading the Rashi, Sheish Ba Kedusha. The Ritsuas also have Kedusha. Al shame achas me osio shel shakai. In other words, we have Shem Hashem on the tefillin of Shin Dalad Yud, and so therefore, the Ritzuas make up two of the letters. The not on the Shel Rosh, that's the Dalad. The Hashin Asuah Bekosle Akitzitza Achitzona, as far as the Shin is concerned, that's on the actual bias itself. And the Yud Asuah Berosh Ritzuas Tefillin Shel Yad. Or Ritzuah Ketana Ma'od Kafuf Roshov Nearest Kimin Yud. And there's a small knot at the top of the Shel Yad, and that makes up the Yud. And so we have a Dal and the Yud made up of the Ritzuas. The Ritzuas have Kedusha. You remember the Gemara we learned earlier in the Masechta. Tav Rashi also afforded the exact same shot regarding why it is that the Tefillin and the Ritzuas have Kedusha. If you remember, Tosus disagreed with that position in Rashi. But anyway, that's Rashi over here. And that's why when the Tefillin are wrapped up as you're going to the bathroom, not only the bottom, but also the Ritzuas should be wrapped up and unexposed.
They didn't have Tefillin bags, I guess.
Tefillin bags are coming up later this morning.
Oh.
But again, yeah, we're putting our sensibilities to the Gemara, so we're davening with a Tefillin bag because we're only having our Tefillin on during Shacharis.
Right.
Back in the day, it was Mamash on all the time. Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, Amar Rabbi Zera Lo Shanu Ela Sheyei Shaos Beyom Lelav Shanu. Now, all this is true if there's time later in the day to wear it. Meaning the idea that you're going to bring your tefillin to the bathroom is because you are going to be wearing it later. But, Aval Ein Shaos Beyom Lelav Shanu, Oselem Kimin Kis Tefach U'Menichan. However, if you have no time to wear them at a later point in time in the day, and Lila's Lav Zman Tefillin, although that's debatable, but we're going to say right now that Lila's Lav Zman Tefillin. So then, what you're going to do is, you're going to put them away. So don't bring them with you into the bathroom, but put them in a bag. So during the day, like we just described, wrap them up in your hands, kim in sefer, and hold them with your right hand against your heart. At night, when you're going to put them away, so make a pocket for them, otherwise what we describe as a tefillin bag, and kis tefach. Now, kis tefach, what does that mean? A kiss that's a tefach? So Rashi over here writes, I'm reading the Rashi. Osem lehem kimin tefach, I'm sorry, osem lehem kis tefach, dechalalo tefach, dechashiv akli ohel, lafzik beinon lekarka. I'm not perfectly clear about the construction. A picture over here would be worth a lot. However, I do get the basic idea. You don't want to put your tefillin on the floor. And so therefore, the kind of bag that is going to be used is going to ensure that it's at least one tefach above ground. Now, I'm not 100% sure how to graphically describe it, but nevertheless, the idea is that it should be above the ground by one tefach, and so therefore, it's not directly on the ground. Amar Rabbi Loshanu Ela Bekli Shuhu Kilyan. Now, we're talking about a kli that was designed for the tefillin. Ava Bekli Shuhu Ena Kilyan, but if it was a kli that was not designed for the tefillin, afilo pachas mi tefach, even if it's less than a tefach, because it was a bag that was not normally designed for your tefillin, it's not considered to be on the floor if it's in the bag that's on the floor. You know, pachin ketanim, you could have a small earthenware jug, and it's in an oel hames, but as long as it's sealed, it's going to protect that which is inside, even though it's small. The amar rabba b'brachana ki avazlina basre de Rabbi Yochanan ki avabai lemeila besa kisei. So we were behind Rav Yochanan. We were following Rav Yochanan. And when the time came where he had to go to the bathroom, so he was wearing tefillin and he was holding a sefer. The sefer he would give to us to hold before going into the bathroom. He wouldn't take the sefer with him into the bathroom. As far as the tefillin are concerned, he did not give that to us. He took the tefillin in with him to the bathroom, as we've been describing all morning. Amr ho visharunu rabbanan. The Chachamim permitted it. They gave a heter. And therefore, ninatran, I'm bringing the tefillin in because it's going to protect me. Huh? What does that mean? Rashi writes on the very top of the next Amud, ninatran yishmaruni achnisam imi vishmaruni minam azikin. We're going to see this idea a number of times. The idea is that the bathroom is a place where you are vulnerable. There are mazikin in the bathroom. And therefore, once the Chachamim gave an allowance for you to wear your tefillin in the bathroom, so Rav Yochanan says, so not only is it an allowance, but also I now have a positive reason why I want to bring it to the bathroom, because it's going to afford me extra shmirah. Gemara tells a similar story as we are now on the top of Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Amar Rav Ki Avazlin Basrei de Rabbi Gamliel. So we were following, Rav Nachman. Yeah, right. The history was off. Okay, it's a nun. Okay, so now the history is better. So it works out better. So Rava says we were behind Rav Nachman. Kevin Nakat Sifra Dagata Yavlan, same story. The Sfarim that he would give to us before he went into the bathroom. Kevin Nakat Tfilin Lo Yavlan, but he wouldn't give us the Tfilin. I'm a Holvisharuna Rabbanan Ninatran. And again, Rav Nachman saying the same thing as Rav Yochanan. So you see it both in Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel as well. I'm bringing the tefillin in with me because it'll provide shmirah. Tana Rabbanan lo yichaz adam tefillin biyado v'sefer Torah v'zroo v'yis palel. A person should not be holding tefillin in his hand, meaning not wearing the tefillin, but holding them in his hand. A person shouldn't do that. Neither should he be holding a sefer Torah while davening. What is the problem with holding tefillin? Rashi writes, "She'in datum yushevas alav b'tfilah." So it is an issue of kavana. In other words, obviously you're holding something, holding your hand. That's a good thing. Yes, it is, but it also shtirs your kavana. And so as a result of that, don't hold the tefillin, don't hold the Sefer Torah while you're davening. Okay. In other words, the point the Gemara is just making is it doesn't matter what you're holding in your hand, shouldn't be holding in your hand. Obviously, it'd be better for him to be wearing the tefillin. But the Gemara's simple point is that don't think to yourself, oh, it's tefillin, it's okay. It's not okay. Kavana demands that you hold that you're having nothing in your hand other than a sitter. V'lo yashin mehem mayin, and don't urinate while holding their hand. V'lo yishin mehem lo shenes keva v'lo shenes arai, and don't sleep by them, neither a fixed sleep or even a temporary sleep. And the problem, Rashi says, is that because while you're sleeping, you may pass gas, and again, that's an affront to the kedushas tefillin. I'm a shmol sakin amos v'kara kikar hare elu kayotze behem. The halacha is not limited to tefillin and a sefer Torah, a knife, money, a plate, bread. Anything that you're holding during your Shemoneh Esrei is going to distract you from your Shemoneh Esrei, and therefore you should be holding nothing in your hand. Again, I'll add, except for the sitter. Amarav, amarav, sheshes leisilchus akiham asisin debei shamahi. So the Rava says that the halacha of not going to the bathroom with tefillin that we just quoted, so that's a halacha beis shamai. Because consider, we learned that according to Beis Hillel, you're supposed to bring your tefillin into the bathroom. It's required. That's the proper shmirah for your tefillin. And that's what you're supposed to do. So if that's true when it comes to a base kisei kavua, it's certainly going to be true by a base kisei arai. Meisvei, the Gemara wants to push back on this. Meaning, what we're doing now is we're taking the brisa that we just learned together, and we're sliding that brisa over to the Shita of Beis Shammai. The Gemara wants to push back. So, Meisvei. Dvarim she'itarti lach kan, asarti lach kan. Okay, the brisa over here is really succinct and really unclear. The brisa says, that which I permitted here, I prohibited there. Okay, and now we got to make sense of the brisa. And the Gemara is going to try. So, my love tefillin. And an ape shot of the brisa could be that I permitted it by a Beis HaKise Kavua, and I prohibited it by a Beis Kise Arai. Now, that could be a Pshat in the Braisa, difficult, but it could be Pshat in the Braisa, and if that's Pshat in the Braisa, so then the Braisa that we quoted before could be going like Beis Shammai, meaning he won't allow you to take it into a Beis HaKise Kavua, but he will allow you to take it into a Beis Kise Arai. So, Iyamar Bishlama Beis Hillel, the Gemara says, look, it makes much more sense to say like Beis Hillel. He tartlach kan kavua, tartlach kan beis akise arai. I gave a heter for a beis akise kavua, and meanwhile, I did not allow it when it comes to beis kise arai. Now, as we're trying to think about it, that's really difficult. If you are given allowance to bring your tefillin into a beis akise kavua, don't you think that you'd be able to bring it into a beis akise arai? Okay. So, but right now, just stay with the Gemara, stay with me. This is what the Gemara is suggesting. But you want to tell me that the author of the Braisa is Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai gives no allowances. You're not allowed to bring your tefillin into neither a Beis Kisei Kavua nor Beis Kisei Arai. So the Braisa is certainly not working within the Shita of Beis Shammai, so it makes more sense to say the Braisa is going like Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, Kitanya Hila Yintefach Utvachayim. So the Gemara says, well, look, the Braisa in of itself was really short and really unclear. And you're assuming that the Braisa was talking about bringing tefillin into the bathroom. It could very well be that the subject of the Braisa had nothing to do with bringing tefillin into the bathroom, but another issue altogether. And that is, when you go to the bathroom, so you have to be modest, and your body has to be covered, and you only cover what is absolute, you only uncover that which is absolutely necessary. What falls into the category of what's absolutely necessary? One tefach, two tzvachim. Now, what does that mean? So let's go through this now. Did nichar? One price that says kishu nifna megala achar of tefach lufanav tzvachayim. When a person goes to the bathroom to relieve himself, so the front of his body he only exposes one tefach. Behind two tzvachim. V'tan yidach in another price ala achar of tefach lufanav lo klum. Another price that says one tefach in the front and then behind nothing. Now, we obviously have to try to make shalom between these two brises. So here's what we're going to say. My love, idi v'idi b'ish. Both brises are describing a man. And it depends now whether he's going and urinating or he's defecating. So if he's urinating, so he's going to expose a little bit in the front. If he's only defecating, he exposes nothing in the front. So the Gemara says, is that really pshat? V'tizbrai b'ketanim l'achar v'tefach lamale. Well, that's very difficult. If he's only urinating, why is he exposing anything in the back? He doesn't need to. So ela idi v'idi b'gedolim. We're talking about the person's defecating. V'lokash abi'ish abi'isha. And the distinction that we're making is between a man and a woman. And when it comes to a man, obviously for him to be able to go defecate and urinate, he's going to have to uncover both in the front and the back. But when it comes to a woman, she only needs to uncover in the back, but not in the front. So the Gemara says, well, there's another part of the Braisa, which is Zeu Kavachom Hashein Alav Tshuva. And we get one more phrase to this Braisa. Again, the Braisa is extraordinarily cryptic. But the one additional phrase to that Braisa is, it's a kavachomer where you can't ask any questions. Now, my ina love tshuva. So the Gemara says kavachomer where you can't answer back. So darket de milsa hachi, meaning if we are explaining the brisa as a question of how much to uncover, and the distinction we're making is between a man and a woman, what are you talking about kavachomer? It's called anatomy. It's called physiology. There's nothing to argue. So Hachi Isa, that's just simply the way it is. Alalav Tfilin. So we're going to go back and say that the Brisas are not discussing the amount to uncover when going to the bathroom. The topic of the Brisa is, as we already explained, it has to do with going into the bathroom with Tfilin, Utiyufta Derava. And that means that now that the Brisa is in fact going talking about going into Tfilin. So now Rava's suggestion that he made earlier. So we have upset Rava's viewpoint. Rava said that the Brisa was going like Beit Shammai, and we now said no. The Brisa, in fact, is going like Beis Hillel. So Amar Rav Sheshes Tiyufta Mikol Makom Kasha Hasha Beis Kisa Kavua Shari Beis Kisa Arai Lo Kol Shekein. And so now that we know the Brisa is talking about tefillin in the bathroom, so now let's ask the obvious question. So if you're going into a bathroom which is a fixed bathroom, so now you are allowed to wear. You're allowed to bring your tefillin in there. If it's a Beis HaKiseh Arai, so the Braisa says you're not allowed to. But that doesn't make any sense. If you can bring your tefillin into a Beis HaKiseh Kavua, certainly you can bring into a Beis HaKiseh Arai. So Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's going to be the pshat of the Braisa. Beis HaKiseh Kavua Deleka Nitzotzos Shari. When it comes to a Beis HaKiseh Kavua, there are no Nitzotzos. So So all he's doing is defecating, and there's not going to be any splattering, so then that's why it's going to be okay. But basically, he's saying, arai, where he's going in to urinate, deika nitzotzos, asrei. So because they're going to be, it's going to splatter, so therefore it's asrei. I hachi, amai inalav tshuva, tshuva mal yasihi. So the Gemara says, so now that we're making this kind of distinction, so the Braisa is additional point of, zeu kavachomash inalav tshuva, well, you can't come back at me. What do you mean you can't come back? In other words, we just explained the difference. Hachi kamar. Hamilsa tesele b'taras taima, velo tesele b'kavachomer. In order to understand the Braisa, you have to give the explanation that we just gave. Meaning, don't base it on a kavachomer. Because a kavachomer would sound something like this. If I can bring my tefillin into a Beis HaKiseh Kavua, I could certainly bring it into a Beis HaKiseh Arai. That would be the logic. But now that we understand, it's not a difference between Kavua versus Arai. It's really the difference between defecating versus urinating. And the splashback of the urination, so de'is ala b'tars kavachomer, zeh kavachomer she'en alav tshuva. If it was just a kavachomer, you would have articulated the kavachomer like we just did. It's not a kavachomer, it's based on svara, the difference between defecating versus urinating.
But every defecation has urination along with it.
The Gemara assumes not, but I do hear you. Yeah.
You got to urinate when you defecate.
Good. Okay, good. Okay, cover that territory. Cover that territory.
So wasn't the tefillin tefachim lost somewhere in the mix?
It's true, just not applicable to that Braisa. In other words, the Gemara doesn't want to use that explanation to explain the Braisa. That's because the words kal vachomer would be totally inappropriate, because we're talking about just physiological differences between men and women. Tana Rabbanan, harotzi lekanas lesudas keva. So a person wants to go sit down and have a nice meal. So we're learning now the hilchos deos. So what should you do before going sitting down to a meal? So lesudas keva, and it's not a snack. So mahalach hasara param dal amos dal paamim yud amos. So you're going to walk 40 amos. Now, how you walk those 40 amos, so you have options. Either in increments 10 times 4 or 40 times 10. I'm sorry, 10 times 4 or 4 times 10. Either way. So, and now, what's all that walking going to do? Okay, good. It's going to get your bowels moving. And the viyifna, you'll go to the bathroom, v'acharkach nichnas, and now go to the meal. And what do you gain by that? You get to really sit and relax and enjoy and eat. Hilchos deos. Now, if you're going to sit down for a fixed meal, so you're going to take off your tefillin. Again, like I said earlier this morning, we are describing back in the day where they wore their tefillin all the time. And so therefore, so are you allowed to have a snack while wearing the tefillin? Sounds like from the Gemara, that's fine. The issue is not to sit down by a meal which is kavua and to wear your tefillin. So for that, you're going to take off your tefillin. Ve'achar kach nichnas. And now go in. Now, everyone agrees you take off your tefillin for the sudas keva. It's just a question of when. So according to one opinion, before you sit in. According to the other opinion, no, you bring your tefillin in with you, take it off at the table, put it on the table. V'chein hadur lo, that's good. Meaning leaving it on the table. And it's consistent with what we learned earlier this morning in terms of giving your tefillin a proper shmirah. Making sure that they're properly protected. That aimless now. When can you put your tefillin back on? I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak, ad zman bracha. Benching. Now it's not clear. Ad v'lo ad b'chlal. Before the benching, after the benching. Again, for us, it's not relevant. We're not wearing our tefillin at meal time. But okay, l'chor before. But I could argue the other. Anyway, tanich ad tzor adam tefilav im ma'osav be'afar kasoso. So, one brisa says that when you wrap your tefillin up and put them in your tefillin bag, although, as you'll see, we're not talking really about a tefillin bag, we're just talking about a bag. So, you could put money together with it. Tan Yidach, another brisa says, lo yitzor, lo yitzor. And another brisa says, no, don't you do that. Don't put it in the bag, in your tefillin bag. Lo kasha hadazah, azmene hadlo azmene. And so, we now get to the discussion, last discussion of this morning, and that is hazmana. Meaning, if the tefillin bag is dedicated as a tefillin bag, so now, you can't put money in it. In other words, the tefillin bag now is tashmishe kedusha, and so then you can't use it for mundane activities. Amar Rav Chista haisidra de tefillin. You have a tefillin bag. De azmane lemetzba tefillin, and you set it aside as your tefillin bag, even though you haven't used it yet. Sarbe tefillin aser lemetzba pshite. Azmane velo tsarbe. Sarbe velo azmane shar lemetzba zuze. Now, according to Rav Chista, you need hazmana and usage. You need it to dedicate it to your tefillin bag and use it as your tefillin bag. Then and only then does it get the status of tashmishe kedusha. One by itself is not enough. Now, it comes a point in time, obviously, where constant usage kind of dedicates it. So I would argue that if you are using it and repeating usage, would certainly give it the hazmana necessary. But I can say this very clearly. If you just used it one time without dedicating it as your tefillin bag, meaning obviously nowadays we go to the store, we buy a tefillin bag, marked as a tefillin bag, right? Some people put their name on it, which is, you know, it's a good idea. So according to Rav Chista, usage by itself or dedication by itself is not enough to give it the status of tashmisha kedusha. Ula bai damar hazmana milsahi. So, but according to Abaye, who throughout Shas is of the opinion that hazmana is significant, just dedicating something as an item gives it status. So then, azmane afagav delo sarbe. Sarbe, I azmane aser, ilo azmane lo. And so according to Abaye, if you dedicate it as a tefillin bag, so then it is going to have the status of tashmisha kedusha. Usage by itself, not enough. But dedication by itself is enough. Okay, adkan. Okay, we'll stop over here. Let's just quickly recap our morning. This morning, we started we moved the Balkari discussion over to Tefillah. All right, the last couple of days, we talked about Shema. Now we talked about Tefillah. In our Mishnah, we said the Balkari shouldn't start the Shemona Esrei, but if he started, Yikatzer. So what you're going to do is you're going to abbreviate the rest of your Shemona Esrei. Other halachas that were taught in the Mishnah which we're going to come around to over the course of the next couple of dapim, regarding being in the mikvah while saying Shema, all that's coming up later. Our first half of today's daf was talking about davening and the need to go to the bathroom, ensuring that you do not have a need to go to the bathroom before davening. We spoke about that at length. That was the Amud Aleph. The taking off your tefillin when going to the bathroom. Machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Exactly where the tefillin should be while you're going to the bathroom. Shita's Beis Hillel, which is obviously the accepted shita, is that you bring the tefillin in with you because of proper shmira. Okay, you're going to hold it, make sure that none of the tefillin is exposed, neither the batim nor the ritzus as well. Ritzus have kedusha. We went through an interesting rashi this morning. Again, repeating the idea that we saw earlier in the Masechta, that the ritzus have Shem Hashem on them, and therefore the ritzus themselves are kedusha. And so you are going to be holding the tefillin in your hand, in your right hand against your heart, while going to the bathroom, giving it proper shmira. Beit Shammai disagrees. On the Amud Beis, more discussion about tefillin and the bathroom, and a question of whether a brisa goes like Beit Shammai or like Beis Hillel. Eventually we came around that the brisa is going like Beis Hillel, not like Beit Shammai, and tefillin at mealtime. That was the last topic that we discussed today. When exactly do you wear your tefillin during mealtime or take them off?